Good morning. Welcome to our first post-COVID-19 or coronavirus online only sermon. Hopefully this will be one of only a few. As most of you know by now, Vanderhoof Baptist leadership has decided to suspend all services through the end of March. We will be meeting in the interim to discuss when we open and what we will do when it happens. Money is not one of our top concerns at all during this interim. However, if you want to continue to give offerings, I would suggest you mail it directly to the church. We are discussing setting something up for direct electronic payment, but it will take some time. Keep in mind though, we will not be going to the church building, our bills will not be stopping. The address is Post Office Box 353, Coolville, Ohio 45723. Now as to why we suspended our services. A press release was given on March 12th by the Ohio Governor's Office of Mike DeWine that reads in part, "The Ohio Department of Health Director Amy Action has signed an order to prohibit mass gatherings in the state of Ohio." Then they define that mass gatherings are gatherings of 100 or more, but they specifically exempted religious gatherings. Also, on that same release concerning nursing homes, it says that at the urging of the nursing home industry, the Ohio Department of Health will soon update its current order limiting visitors to nursing and assisted living homes to reflect that no visitors will be admitted. This is what the Ohio governmental officials are telling us. We chose to follow the prohibition of large gatherings guideline voluntarily for a couple reasons. First is the hope that the governor and his staff knows more than we do about how to contain this virus. We're not healthcare professionals. We also took into consideration that many in our congregation are the most vulnerable to the worst results of this virus. We are told that the virus can be carried by people who have no symptoms. Also, that those who have had symptoms or been in contact with someone who is contagious can be continually contagious for up to 2 weeks afterwards. This is a reasoning for the longevity of the imposed closings. It is my hope that if we can get past this period, we'll be able to verify who does and does not have it. Then the state, or voluntarily, somehow they can be put into quarantine. Soon afterward, we should be able to continue with our services as usual. However, it may be advisable for us to rethink some of what we do regularly going forward to help alleviate not only this virus, but all viruses that are passed from person to person. This is some of what the leadership will be talking about while our services are suspended. We pray that the governmental leaders will be guided by God in their decisions and that we get through this soon. Our text this morning comes from Numbers chapter 21, and I'll be reading again from the English Standard Version. Numbers chapter 21, beginning with verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he would take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Let's pray. God, give us peace in this time of trouble. Guide us to look to you and find direction for our own actions, and a willingness to put some trust in those who you have given as caretakers over us. We pray for those who have been infected of this virus and for those who may in the future. Guide the hands of those who are making decisions for this problem in our world today. Most of all, we ask of you to use it to bring about your glory. Now help us to be still and listen closely as your Spirit speaks to our hearts as we look into your word. Amen. The timing of this event that we just read about in Numbers would have been during the 1400s BC. So around 3,500 years ago from today. If you know your Bible, this was taking place as the children of Israel were traveling from Egypt towards what was then called Canaan, but will later be called Israel. This was the time of the wandering. Again, if you know your Bible, you may remember the children of Israel wandered for some 40 years between Egypt and Canaan. So many in the nation were complaining. They complained about their leadership. They complained about the food. They complained about water shortages. This was a time of much grumbling in the nation. They complained specifically about God's provision and his selected leader at the time, Moses. Maybe you've been in a similar place. You're traveling and the provisions are not up to your expectations. I can remember many trips in my day where I felt similar to the people of Israel. I remember traveling to the beach as a child in my cousin's car with his mother, where there were no provisions nor anything to keep us occupied. But in my mother's car, there were stacks of comic books, snack food, including Pop. I think you know whose car was loaded up. My cousins often rode with us on the way to Nags Head, North Carolina. Most kids today have all kinds of entertainment on car trips. They don't know what it's like to travel for hours in a car with nothing to look at or to do. They simply pick on each other. And they ask the question, are we there yet? What I would have given the ability to watch a movie on that long trip to North Carolina. The children of Israel are not given what they were used to in Egypt. They were leaving a place where they were enslaved, but it was all that they knew. The Israelites had lived in Egypt for 400 years, and no one alive in the days of Moses had seen the land of Canaan. It was a land that they could only dream about. I can understand the position of the people and can see myself as one of the complainers. However, God was not pleased. We're told that God, in frustrations with their actions, sends poisonous snakes among the people. Moses, the writer of Numbers, describes them as fiery serpents. I believe this basically means shiny serpents. The fiery description may suggest that they had something like a copper skin that shined in the sunlight. I don't like snakes. When I was young, I remember collecting a few and bringing them home. Somewhere along the way, as I aged, I've lost interest in handling them, to say the least. My wife Julie was once introduced to one at the back door of our house. Somehow a large black snake had gotten between our storm and the main door and was attempting to find its way out. When Julie opened the door, it was somehow lifted up like it was trying to crawl up and find its way out. And in the dim morning light, it looked like a stick leaning against the door. Julie reached for it. Imagine some of the neighbors heard the scream. Note that the process in these six verses on Numbers, or note the process, it's often repeated throughout the history of the nation of Israel. You may even see something similar in your own life. People are going about their business, following what they perceive as the path God has laid out for them. Somewhere along the way, they become indignant, disagreeing with God's provision, not being content, thinking there must be something more. Though God all along is planning and preparing a great work for them, but they grow angry and impatient. They begin to strike out and blame everyone but themselves for their circumstances. They blame God and his designated leader. God is not pleased with their actions, and some consequences come about. The people, after the pain comes, begin to ask forgiveness from God. The Lord turns to them for relief And in this case, he gives Moses an interesting remedy, one that has not been repeated in history, at least to my knowledge. He tells Moses to put up a pole and place upon it a serpent made of bronze. When anyone is bitten, all they have to do for healing is to look upon the pole, and they will be healed. I was in the state of Kentucky this week and was thinking about this sermon while I was driving. I remember that many ambulances have a symbol of a snake on a stick on their side. And I thought, I'm going to look at the very next one and see if that's true. If my memory was correct, I soon came upon one, stopped in traffic, and took a quick picture of it. I wished I could show it to you. I encourage you to look at the next ambulance that passes by you. On this ambulance in Kentucky, I noticed a small picture of a snake wrapped around a pole. It wasn't until after I stopped later and took a good look at the picture that I noticed that there was even a much larger picture of that pole and the snake wrapped around it towards the back of the ambulance. Why do ambulances have a picture of a snake wrapped around a pole on their sides? You may notice pharmaceutical packaging in hospitals, some clothing that hospital workers wear, emergency workers wear, have them as well. Some tie this image of a snake wrapped around a pole to some of the Greek mythological gods. But can you see here that this also may have been where it come from, right here in Numbers? We can't tell for sure. Maybe somewhere along the way, both are correct. One thing we need to be careful of not doing with this illustration, this incident that I read about in Numbers, we need to be careful that we don't simply take it to suggest that every time we have a catastrophe, we can blame it on someone's sin or the nation's sin and see it as resulting actions of God. There were people who held a similar view in first century Palestine. They thought every time something bad happened, it must be due to somebody's sin. When a man was born blind, the disciples asked, "Who sinned, this man? Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither." In Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, people were speaking of some bad things happening and suggesting that it proved that those who were more affected must have been more sinful than others. Jesus tells them not to think that way. Jesus also tells us this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, says, "In part, he," meaning God, "makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." We need to be careful in looking in modern day events and suggest that we know why. It's just conjecture on our part. Unless we can see a direct cause and effect, such as a drunk driver hitting a pole on the way home, what is important is to have our lives in line with God all the time. And we recognize we're in the wrong, turn back to God, and seek his forgiveness. Don't wait for any consequences. We happen to see in the incident here with the children of Israel that this direct cause and effect because God opens up and shares it with us. However, this is often not true. We're often not given an explanation from God as to why some things happen. If you go back and look in the book of Job, Job was never given an explanation from God as to why he had trouble in his life. I don't know why this virus is upon us, but I do know to whom I look for guidance and healing. I realize this is a novel way God chose to heal in the days of Moses. I believe in a God who's capable of doing anything within his creation that he wants. In this case, he brought healing by a simple glance at a snake on a pole. Keep in mind, this was well before the development of modern medicine. Today, we would treat a snake bite with a vaccine, something that many are working frantically to create for our modern-day suffering with COVID-19. Some may snicker at the simplicity of God's instructions for healing recorded in Numbers chapter 21. Many have snickered at it over the years. There was a man who scoffed at God's instructions for healing his leprosy. However, later he was convinced to follow through and found healing by simply dipping in the water of the Jordan River. Today, people are still snickering or scoffing, making light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That simple childlike faith in Jesus will bring about a healing of the spirit and mind. A faith in Jesus will set you free to live a life that is fulfilling and full of peace, even in the midst of international problems. Jesus used this incident with a bronze snake made by Moses and put on a pole to compare to what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. Take a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And remember, the title Son of Man is something that Jesus often referred to concerning himself. So he's saying, just as Moses physically created this bronze serpent and put it on a pole, as God had instructed him, so also Jesus himself is going to be lifted up and put on a pole. And he says that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. At some point, whether it's COVID-19 or a car accident, we are all going to die. It's appointed unto man to die, then comes judgment. Jesus, in his conversation in the night with a man called Nicodemus, tells him that we must simply look to him for healing. Healing of the heart, healing of the soul. This comes about with simple faith in God's provision. Jesus refers to it in John chapter 3 as being born again. Something that God does in our lives when we turn to his Son in faith. In the days of Moses, God offered a provision that required faith for healing with this bronze snake on the pole. Today, God's provision for physical healing often comes through modern medicine. I believe, as the Bible tells us in the letter James wrote, that all good things come from God. Just as the healing came in the days of Moses through God, so too does healing come from God today, and we should thank him for the provision. But a healing that we all need, a healing of our sin sickness that separates us from God, can only come to us by us looking upon the cross upon which Jesus died. Moses doesn't record anyone in his time getting bit and refusing to go to the pole and look, but I'm convinced that many chose not to, or at least some, knowing how human nature is. I'm imagining, now listen, this is some conjecture on my part, that in time people realized the need, realized that there was a difference between those who looked and those who did not look upon the snake. For those who want eternal life, there will not be an ability to look upon those who pass into the next life and refuse to look upon Jesus and compare them with those who do. It's a matter of faith. As for me, I've chosen to not look once, but continually look upon the cross of Calvary. And in this I find a hope that will get me through the next few weeks, as well as the rest of my life and into eternity. When we look upon the cross, Jesus tells us that we will be taken care of. The people in the days of Moses did not get an explanation of how the snake on a stick did its work. They just saw the results. We too can see some results in those who have turned to Christ and the ways that their lives are changed when they become born again. Let's pray. God, bring this message to its fullness in changed lives. I hope that all who hear it will allow its truth to draw them to you. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you have a need or a concern that the church could help you with, don't hesitate to call. If you want to talk to me or someone else at the church, again, don't hesitate to call. I will be making some phone calls during this time to check on some of you, and I encourage each of you to do the same amongst yourselves. We will get through this. I want to close with some words from the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.